Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes does it again, it's gone, it's into the bullpen, this game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field, it's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires, swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over!
All right, Play Testy, episode 266, the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast, rate 5 stars. Find us on WEEI's YouTube channel. Hit the thumbs up on the videos, subscribe there, and find us on the socials at Play Testy, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Gordo here, just me and Sammy today. Sox dropped 2 out of 3 from the A's. And the only way to describe this for me, just to get right into this and what's happening right now with our team, is out of control. Like it genuinely just feels out of control, because you take the second game of the series, and my reaction when they walked it off was way more of a exhale and relief than it was like a euphoric, let's go, it's go time. Because let's be real here, man. They could have gotten swept in that series. They easily could have gotten swept in that series. And to be honest with you, you could say they should have gotten swept in that series. And this is a series that when you went into it, you looked at the 4 remaining series. You had the A's, you had the Rays, you got the Jays, you got the Tigers. And you look at those teams, where are you going to get your wins? You got to beat the A's. I know they've been playing good ball. The broadcast was very clear about that. Like, the A's have been playing some of the better ball in the league. I get it. But when you're a team that is clinging to a playoff spot and you have to win games, and those are the teams that are in front of you, yeah, this is the time where you have to be winning games. And, you know, they've now lost 3 of their last 4 against this A's team after destroying them in the first 2. And it feels like every single time the Red Sox lose a game, they lose a game of ground, because the Guardians have now won 7 in a row. And it's like it's been the entire last 2 months where there's like these 4-ish teams, sometimes whatever, the like 4-ish teams chasing down these wild card spots. And it's a new team that gets hot like every week and a half. You know, last week it was the Rangers. Now it's the Guardians. And this kind of feels like where it's going to be to stay, because to pass the Red Sox, the Rangers would have to be pretty damn good, and the Red Sox would have to be pretty damn bad. The Guardians, on the other hand, though, it's a game and a half. Like, that's the flip of a coin. And you look at their schedule, they got 3 against the Tigers and Rangers at the end, but they've got 4 against the Twins coming up right now. Like, it's the Red Sox have to take this series against the Rays. You might even... I hate going into series saying you need to sweep it, so I'm not going to say that. But the truth is, Like, I'll ask you, Sammy, if the Red Sox take two out of three from the Rays and then drop two out of three from two teams that are better than them, the Jays and the Tigers, that means they're 4-5 the rest of the way. Does that get them in? No, right?
No, if they go 4-5 the rest of the way, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And, you know, crazier things have happened. But I think right now, if you're a Red Sox fan and you're in panic mode or close to panic mode, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's even a little stranger to not be in panic mode at this point. This was a series that we had circled on the calendar as, okay, this is one of the easier ones you can get to help alleviate some of that pressure and get into the playoffs. The A's are not the worst team in the league. They can hit, but they've got no pitching and they play poor defense and they don't run the bases well. So two out of three at least. And the Red Sox just came out, I think feeble would be the best way to put it. They're already a banged up team and they go out there and they just looked jumpy, some weird approaches, some bad luck, sure, but there were things that cannot happen. And I hate to start this with Trevor Story because he's been the one guy who's been hitting.
The only guy.
But those errors he made in the third game, it's just brutal. And that's what ends up costing them. I won't spend too much time on him because, you know, he's been very good. So, but guys like Duran, just, you know, some hard contact, but nothing doing. Bregman, hard contact, but nothing doing. It's just everything that could go wrong is going wrong. And the guys who are underperforming in such a way that they're not doing anything positive. It's not like you have a guy who's struggling, goes 1-5, ah, but he had a key double. Drove in a run that helped them win. Yeah, 1-5 is not great. Still helped out. It just seems like with this team right now, when it rains, it pours. And the thing that scares me is this is a team that's been resilient. They've overcome adversity all year long, and they're just not doing that right now. And when Roman Anthony got hurt, it was totally fair to say, I think this team could stay afloat until the playoffs. The bar for that was pretty low. They didn't need to be anything to do that. And they still could do that. I'm not saying this team's dead. They're certainly not treading in the right direction, but they're far from dead. I just worry the way they played this series against the A's, that's the easiest one you're going to get the rest of the way. And they couldn't, like you said, that was dangerously close to being a sweep. And it's totally fair to say they didn't deserve to win that second game. I think they did. I think if you win, you win, and it's as simple as that. But it's not like they played well. There's not... And I'm looking at the series, and even when the things are bad, I like to take the positives away from it. Like, yeah, okay, yeah, that was bad. Other than Trevor Story hitting, I don't have much. There's really not much to look at to feel good about. Bayo looked bad.
Early. You can be positive about Connelly early.
Connelly early looks good, but he's faced the A's two times. He's a guy who's, you know, not a top prospect. That's not a guy you want to be relying on. I like him. I think he's been great, way better than anyone expected. If you expected him to pitch the way he's pitched, I think you're lying. So, yeah, man, it's scary hours. This not as bad as 2011, but this is a very eerily similar feeling to the way I was feeling around mid-September, mid to late September that year, and I do not like it.
Yeah, and that year, it really did feel out of control, and maybe even, I mean, not maybe, it was definitely more so than this year does, but I mean, it sucks because, like, you look across the board, and let's stick to the offense here. Because obviously, the starting rotation is decimated by injuries. We get it. I appreciate what Connelly Early has done to step up. We will see what Kyle Harrison has as a starter in his first Red Sox start. Peyton Tolley looked really good out of the bullpen today. So guys are stepping up, and the bullpen, for the most part, I mean, Greg Weiser in game one, that was really hard to watch. But outside of that, like, the bullpen, for the most part this year, has been good. The offense, let's go there. You go across the board. You've got Bregman, who's giving them nothing offensively. He should be giving you a lot offensively, especially in these games. This is what he's paid to do. You've got Sadon Rafael, who's been the worst hitter in the league statistically by a mile since the All-Star break.
It is not even close. He is by far the worst hitter in the league since the break.
And you saw what he was capable of doing before that. So the bar was raised. Like, if Sadon struggled before, it's like, okay, that's Sadon's going to give you defense. He's going to struggle. No, now you've seen what he can do, and he's now so far below that, he's giving you nothing. So you got those two guys. They're on the field. They're not performing. Yoshida, for the most part, he didn't have the worst series, but for the most part this year, he's been a disappointment. Duran, very up and down. Those are the guys that are on the field. Now let's go to the guys.
Yoshida's numbers look way better than he actually played. Like, he got two RBIs off of balls that he hit like 50 miles an hour. Infield single that he barely legged out because the Kurtz was slow. And then
he had a couple hard hit outs, though. So, like, it evens out.
He did. Yeah, true. Yeah, he did. He had that laser beam in that, I think, the eighth inning right to the right fielder.
Crushed that ball right at him. Yeah.
The hardest hit ball he's had.
Yeah. Those are the guys on the field underperforming. Now you go to the guys that are off the field that are not here. Roman got hurt. He's not coming back. Willier got hurt. They say he's coming back. We'll see. Marcelo got hurt. He's not coming back. Casas got hurt. He's not coming back. Devers got traded, which I feel like I don't want to go down the whole Devers trade rabbit hole, but if this team misses the playoffs because the offense can't get out of its own way and doesn't have enough talent and isn't hitting, which is right now what's happening, you know, they haven't fully collapsed yet. It's still a game and a half. And the Red Sox have the tiebreaker. So it's not like it's a foregone conclusion or anything close to it that this team's going to miss the playoffs. But if that happens, the Devers conversation is going to get loud. Because if this team misses the playoffs, the offense, even if the offense gets it going and the pitching hurts them down the stretch, we'll point to the stretch of poor offense, and specifically in game one, where, oh my God, could they not hit in game one? The bases loaded, no outs in the second inning, didn't score. Had multiple guys on base several times throughout the game. I should find my stat. Mm-hmm. At a certain point in time, like the last six games, their batting average with runners in scoring position, I think, was 92.
Gordo, while you're looking for that, I think the injury thing is definitely significant. Same with the Devers trade and all that. Both sides of the baseball, not just offensively, defense too, and pitching. But that, I don't want, and this is not what you're doing. Yeah, I don't want people to let these guys off the hook because of that. Like I said earlier in the show, the bar to make the playoffs following the Abreu and Anthony injuries was very low. They could have played like around 500 baseball. And I don't mean to talk in past tense like it's over. It's not. It wouldn't shock me if they won two games in Tampa and maybe Cleveland has a stinker and we're, oh, hey, look at that. You're up 2.5 again. But for it to become this close, it shouldn't be this close. They could have played just meh baseball and cruised into the playoffs. Yeah, oh, they're limping in, oh, whatever. But at least it was stress-free. They limped in, but it wasn't like you were panicking. This is like, I just don't want them let off the hook for this.
They shouldn't.
Yes, the injuries are very, very significant. I totally agree. But low bar, and they haven't reached it. It's frustrating as hell to watch.
Here's the question, though. Because like in 2011, when they collapsed, the obvious split, like the chicken and beer story came out and you had the scapegoats right there. It's the guys that were eating the chicken and drinking the beer during the games. Those guys are the scapegoats. This year, and I feel like we're putting the cart before the horse here, but like it is a reverse jinx attempt. So like, don't blame us. Like, we're doing good.
Season's over. Playoffs, pack it up. It's over.
If they make the playoffs, it's because we're having this conversation.
Yeah, but we, like, never said this.
Who even is the scapegoat if they don't make the playoffs? Is it Craig Breslow for trading Devers? Is it Bregman, Rafaela, Yoshida for not performing? Is it the guys who got hurt for getting hurt? Like, it's not an easy question.
It's funny that you asked that. Right before we got on to record this episode, I wrote out this really long tweet that I'm saving to the end of the year, just in case this collapse does come to fruition and they do miss the playoffs. And basically, the gist of it was, naturally, when a team like the Red Sox collapses, or is beginning to collapse, or is in the middle of collapsing, people want to point the finger. You want to point at Pete Fatsy because the hitters aren't hitting. You want to point at Andrew Bailey because the pitching is slowing down. You want to point at Breslow because of his trade deadline and the Devers situation. You want to point at Cora because his team is failing. But the thing is, there is no person or side of the ball or group of players and coaches to point to. It's an organizational failure right now. Granted, maybe they survive, and then none of this matters. But if this collapse does happen, which is the way it's trending, it's on everyone. There's not one guy to point to, and I think Red Sox fans hate that, because every time there's a negative thing, I get 16 different names. The most common one is always Alex Cora, which makes sense because he's the manager. But like, look at this lineup today. You got Nate Eaton, David Hamilton, Sedan, who's the coldest hitter in baseball, Carter Wong hitting sixth, man.
Yeah.
What do you expect? This team is banged up, and again, not a complete excuse. That's not a get out of jail free card. It's everything. It's everything coming together at the worst time. And it sucks because you want to point out one player or a coach and get them out of there. Once they're out, oh, we're all good. Don't have to deal with that, you know, albatross anymore. But there's no way to do that right now. It's everyone.
Yeah. I mean, that's why. And like, again, like, it's tough because there is such a fine line between explaining the reality of the situation and making an excuse. But like, you heard the names. I basically gave you seven names that should be producing for the Red Sox right now. But whether they're hurt, they're traded, or they're underperforming, they're not. Like, okay, what were the names? Let's say Rafaela and Bregman should be performing. I'll leave Yoshida out of it. Devers, Meyer, Anthony, Abreu, Casas. That's seven names right there that should be performing for you right now that aren't. Like, and again, it's not an excuse because they gave this team plenty of a cushion to hold on to. Like, all you have to do is not suck. Don't completely suck. But since Roman Anthony went down, what is it? Is it 5-8 since Anthony went down while the Guardians win every single game? Like, 5-8 is bad, but it's not the worst imaginable. But when you're going up against teams that are chasing you that legitimately are not losing, 5-8 kills you. Because if you go 5-8 in a 13 game stretch and they go 12-1, they gained four games on you in 2 weeks. That's huge. That's a ton of ground.
Did you mention Duran? Because I think Duran deserves some blame too. He had a good game too, but overall, he's been cold lately. Like, to me, if you really want to point out the guys who deserve the most blame, it's Bregman and Duran for me, because those are your two guys who are remaining, along with Story, who are supposed to be the big hitters on the team, the veterans of the team. When times get tough, that's who you look to. And two out of the three guys are just MIA. Thank God Story's contributing. I shudder to even imagine where these guys would be at if Story didn't perform well. We kind of saw some of that on Thursday. When he isn't making those plays on the infield, they lose. And those two plays were the difference. And yes, like I said earlier, he had the home run. He has been hitting, had a hit in the first inning. So I don't want to get on Story too much. He's, in fact, probably the last guy who deserves blame right now.
What did Duran do today? I want to stay on that for a second. I'm gonna pull it up because I can pull up his game logs going into today. Today he was 0 for 4. Since the game where Roman went down, 289 with an 827 OPS. So he has been, to use the expression that Bradford loves to use, he's been more part of the solution than part of the problem since that point. Yes, he's had a very up and down year, and when he's down, you very much notice it, and when he's up, you very much notice it, because when Duran goes, the Red Sox go. That's the way it's been. But yeah, I mean, there's just too many guys.
Too harsh of me to say like Duran should be, because those are good numbers, but it doesn't feel like he's been hitting like that. It feels like they come in bunches. Like, he'll have a good, Wednesday night, he was great.
He was awesome.
But then today, terrible. And a few games before that, MIA, completely MIA. Maybe I'm being too harsh on Duran, but still.
He's had, counting today, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's 13 games since Roman went down, and he's been hitless in only four of those 13 games. I don't know if that's an only, but that feels like a good amount of games with a hit. Most of the games he has one hit, he's had three multi-hit games. He's been fine. Yeah. He has not been obviously when Jaren Duran carries your team, they go, especially when he's leading off. Like, we've seen it a million times. We saw it a bunch last year. We've seen it at times this year. He's not necessarily doing that outside of game two in the series where he certainly was doing it. But again, like, it's just too many guys that should be performing for you that aren't. And it's hard to point the finger when so many of the guys that aren't performing for you aren't performing for you because they're not on the field. And I'm not going to sit here and blame Roman Anthony for straining his oblique. I'm not going to sit here and blame Marcelo for hurting his wrist on a swing. I'm not going to sit here and blame Willier Abreu for injuring his calf crossing home plate. You can blame Devers if you want. You can blame Devers for getting himself shipped out of town. If you have that guy in the middle of the lineup, like, I feel like that's not enough of a talking point right now, but maybe it should be, is the fact that you should have one of the better hitters in baseball in the middle of your lineup, and whether you want to blame him or the front office for it or anyone, he's not in the middle of your lineup and he would make a difference. Like maybe you win game one. Maybe you score more than one run.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If Devers is in your lineup, but he's not.
Now, neither. There's a chance that Devers and the Red Sox miss the playoffs now because the Giants heated up for a bit. They got cold.
Yeah.
I just don't like the Devers thing because it's over. Like we spoke about it so much. Like it's we can relitigate it in the offseason.
Part of the season.
Yeah, but right now it's like it just feels like it feels useless to talk about. But it is, you know, when you're not hitting, it's hard not to think about. That was your best bet. Shipped him out of town for being a little biatch.
Can I ask you about Alex Cora now? Because I think there's going to be a lot of people that want us to talk about Alex Cora. Because
yes,
like if you think that this team, like the logic here is if this team is capable of making the playoffs with the roster that's on the field. And they don't. That should be the manager's fault. That's the logic.
Dude, you know me. Big Cora guy. Always stick up for Cora. I think he's great at managing the bullpen. I think the critiques he gets for that are completely unfair. I like his lineups. I think he's good at mixing and matching. I think he's one of the better managers in the league at that. I like that he's a player's manager. But if what you said happens, I mean, what can I say? I mean, it's on. He's not perfect. I would say that's a blemish on his resume if this team collapses. How could you not? I'm not saying he's a bad manager. I still think he's one of the better managers. But, I mean, again, like Terry Francona was arguably the best manager in Red Sox history. He has that blemish from the chicken.
He got fired for it.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is different.
It is different.
Not to say that it wouldn't be a blemish, because it absolutely would be. And not to say that he's free of blame, because he would not be. If this team collapses under his watch, he's not free of blame and he should get blame. But again, like you look at the lineup that's out there today and you look at the fact that they have a three-man rotation plus kids that they're hoping like tap into some magic. And luckily, like again, Connelly Early to shout the guy out, he has tapped into that magic and he's put together two awesome starts. But like with the team, with like the pattern with this team has been when they have a capable lineup on the field and a capable starting pitcher on the mound, they win. And when they don't have those things, they lose. And it just so happens that in the last 2+ weeks, since Roman Anthony went down, they haven't had a capable lineup on the field. And I'm not going to sit here and blame Alex Cora for Alex Bregman, who maybe is that injury might still be lingering with that quad that he, I don't want to say rushed back from, but he came back a lot quicker than originally was expected. I can't sit here and blame the manager when the roster on the field for the time period where they're losing games does not look like a roster that's capable of winning a ton of games. And when they did look like that, they did win games.
No, it's fair. It's fair. But I feel like a good manager helps teams get through times like this when they don't have that team on the field. And I don't want it to sound like I'm becoming a Cora hater. I'm not. I think he's good. And my opinion on that's hardly going to change. But yeah, this is when you need a manager to step up. And it's not just what you said. It's also the approaches. The guys look nervous. The players look nervous. We watch every game all year long. They look like they're pressing. It does not look like a calm approach. You're seeing jumpy at bats, weird base running mistakes, errors that guys don't normally, like, it's just frustrating, man. It feels like everything, it's this big wave of bad shit, and this is getting close to the crescendo of it, and you're you're stressing because you've seen it before as a Red Sox fan. And this is not, if you're a young fan listening to this, trust me, this is nothing close to 2011. 2011 was the worst month of being a Red Sox fan I've ever experienced by a very good margin. This is, I wouldn't even say this is close, but it's at least comparable. So,
and the reason it's not close though is it's why I think the Cora and Francona comp is a little bit of a stretch, just because with Francona, you had one of the best rosters on paper. Like they were talking World Series champs before opening day with that
completely
roster.
Completely stacked, like favorite and expected to win 95 games and maybe the World Series, but
right,
overall
and
by everybody.
Thing though. You had that roster and you had the chicken and beer thing, which that falls. Yes, the pitchers should not have been eating chicken and drinking beer during the games. I get it. But that also falls on the manager to make sure that that shit doesn't happen under your watch. To our knowledge, there's nothing like that going on under Alex Cora. And the roster going into the year, we liked it, but we weren't calling them World Series favorites. So it's a little bit different. Not that he should be without blame. If they collapse and they miss the playoffs, throw as much blame at the guy as you want, but I'm not going to sit here calling for his job. That's what I'm getting at.
Right. You also had an MVP candidate, Ellsbury. You had Carl Crawford, Adrian Gonzalez, Big Poppy, all these superstars, like legit superstars. It wasn't like comeback player of the year, Trevor Story is really doing a lot. Oh, Jaron Duran, like, last 2 years has really become a guy. Carlos Narvaez, we didn't know who the fuck this guy was a year ago. It was very different. So, I don't think that comparison is fair either, but it has to be mentioned. When the team is collapsing like this, you gotta bring up the season that we don't like to speak about. On the topic of stars, I have a question for you. Is this where we are now, and this is probably a better question to ask you when the season ends, but right now it's a hot topic. Has this at all changed your feeling on bringing back Bregman, regardless of how it happens?
No, not at all. I think he needs to be here. But what it has changed my opinion of is whether or not he's going to opt out. He's not going to opt out. Do you think he's going to opt out?
Oh God, that's tough. The money's great, but I bet he wants years. I don't know. I really don't know right now.
Can I give you my logic?
Please
if you're Alex Bregman right now, you're coming. I mean, you're never going to have a qualifying offer attached to your name ever again. So you don't have to worry about that. Right now, like let's say he doesn't perform for the next 9 games and the Red Sox miss the playoffs and there's no postseason for him to earn an extra buck, a la Walker Buehler closing out the World Series and getting $20 million from the Red Sox.
You know, don't talk about that.
if he does that, he's now turning away $40 million and you're going to have these teams questioning how much is left in the tank. Whereas if you know maybe you're not performing because of that injury, like maybe he is, maybe he's not, like we don't know, but he sure does. You opt back in, you take your 40 million, you put together another good season. Maybe it's not overall statistically quite as good, but you finish off stronger. You finish off looking like you can still do what you're doing and have been doing your whole career. Now you've gotten $40 million for 2026 and you can try to cash in on a longer term deal. Cause let's be real here. If he goes for a long-term deal coming off of what he's coming off of, like there's not going to be teams lining up to pay him $30+ million a year for a long-term deal. So you'd have to sacrifice a lot in that, at least in that first year. I know a lot of it's deferred, but it's guaranteed money based off of 1 year of play.
With the guy Bregman is, I would slightly lean towards he still opts out. I think if he's playing through something, the Red Sox are probably aware of that and not willing to compensate him for it. It's not the right way to say it, but they're aware of it. And I think he wants to be here. They want him here. So I'll stick with he still opts out, but that's...
So answer your own question then. If he opts out, answer your own question that you asked me.
So answer to my question is I have not changed one bit. You got to bring Alex Bregman back. If you don't bring Alex Bregman back, it's a colossal failure. He is Moses. He's leading these guys. Like who's the leader if he's gone? And we both also think that Duran is probably going to get moved in the offseason. So if you don't have Bregman, you don't have Duran. I guess Story, he's not the most vocal guy in the world. So
could he opt out? Like he's crushing it, man.
See, the only reason I don't think he will because that lockout in 2027, I think teams are going to be like, shit, we're going to get his age 33 and 35 season. And he's been hurt for like 3 of the last 4 years. We can't do it, but maybe, but to answer, put a bow on it. no, you have to bring Alex Bregman back. I don't care about this cold second half of the season. He's probably playing through shit. You need a leader like that. By the way, 2-3 times on Thursday, I counted plays where Devers does not get to that baseball, and it's probably more runs for the A's. So even when he's not hitting, at least he's giving you defense, not to let him off the hook.
Joe?
You guys are talking about Bregman opting out. This is Scott Boras opting out, okay? This is still a Scott Boras guy. Scott Boras clients don't opt in to contracts. They go into free agency. He tries to get them for top dollar, and then they sign at the very, very end.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
Well, we'll see, though, Joe, because, I mean, really, all it is can he beat, in his eyes, 2 years and 80 mil with an opt-out after the first year?
You know,
that's not easy.
The lockout thing might affect Bregman, too. He's not as old as Story, but he's only like a year and a half younger, though. So I just think the lockout, people don't mention everyone. This enough. It's going to impact a ton. It sucks, too, but we have to bring it up. A lot of the shit that we're talking about today absolutely sucks, but we have to bring it up. That's our job. You're welcome.
Also, I can't believe we looped the impending lockout in 2027 into this pod, because that might be the one thing that would make me more miserable than missing the playoffs this year would.
Dude, what would we do? What would we talk about?
I don't know. I can't even, like, I read Jeff Passan's piece on the owners pushing hard for a salary cap today, and I read through it, and I basically told myself, like, I understand that this all is going to happen, and if they push for a salary cap, we are going to miss the entire 27 season, and I just can't think about it further than that, because I just can't imagine, like, what my life would look like in the spring and summer without the Red Sox. Like, I just don't even know what I would do.
Oh my God, I might actually go to the gym more and maybe even read. Ugh, disgusting.
Maybe I would, like, travel or something. Maybe I'll, like, yeah.
Dude, imagine this, being social.
Oh. Like, see people.
Like, real, like, in person?
Yeah, like, in person. Like, friends, like, family, like, maybe even people that you don't, like, love that much, but, in, like, they're not your favorite person, but, like, you see them anyway because you got nothing else to do.
Dude, play testy play dates.
Oh, jeez, man.
Ah, don't miss the playoffs. So depressing.
Here's one thing that came up in conversation with me and a friend today. Because, and I've been talking about it a lot with a friend of mine that's a Mets fan. And we basically, for the last week or so, have been going back and forth about, like, oh, who has it worse? And to be fair, for the most part, the Mets have had it worse than the Mets fans have had it worse than the Red Sox fans to this point. But they've now started to win a little bit again, and maybe it's starting to feel a little bit better for them. Maybe now we have it a little bit worse. I don't know. But the conversation from the Mets angle, it's like, okay, you've got McLain, you've got Tong, you've got Sproat, and obviously you've got Steve Cohen's checkbook. You've got Soto locked up long-term. You got Lindor locked up long-term. You've got more coming, one of the better farm systems in baseball. The future is bright for the Mets. Same thing can be said for the Red Sox. Like, you look at all those guys that I talked about that aren't here. Every single one of them, besides Devers, is going to be here. We see, you know, you've got a dude in Crochet. You've got, I know he hasn't looked good for a few starts. Maybe he's wearing down, but you do have a dude in Brian Bayo. And we've seen what Peyton Tolley can be. We've seen what a lot of these other guys that have gotten hurt can be. And we've got the Red Sox hopefully ready to try their hardest to compete, sort of like they did going into this year, to bring in more talent. The future is very bright for the Red Sox too. Roman Anthony's locked up. You've got Marcelo. You've got Campbell locked up long-term. You're going to probably have Bregman here. Like, there's a lot to look forward to. But the end destination of these conversations ends up the same, which is that I don't, like, right now in this moment in September, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, they're probably sick of hearing all that. All that stuff you said is true, and they're probably all sick of hearing it, just like Red Sox fans are sick of hearing about how the future is bright, even if it is true. It is true.
Roman Does it Anthony, make you feel any better about what's going on?
In the moment, no. If I take a few hours and think about it long term, yeah, but it's really hard to do that, especially, I mean, this game just ended. We're in the moment. And we're also abnormally hardcore Red Sox fans. We're not, you know, we're watching 162 games a year. for people who are more casual fans, they're not thinking of, well, next year Roman Anthony's going to have a full season and Marcelo will be back. Like, they're just thinking, please don't collapse. And I think that's totally appropriate.
Well, here's the thing. Like, for people who, you know, maybe they want to get into the team only when the team is good, and when the team's not good, like, they've got plenty of other interests, they've got other things they want to do, like, very casual fans. And that's not said in a derogatory way. Like, there's plenty of different types of fans. There's people like us that live and die with every single pitch that this team throws and every single swing that they take. And then there's other people that, yeah, like, they'll go to one or two games a year, they'll watch 15 to 20 games a year, and they'll watch the team in the playoffs. For those people, it's like, okay, like, they didn't make it this year, but, you know, things are going to be really good next year. So, like, I'll watch next year and I'll just go on with my life. Like, for me, like, and I can only speak for myself here, like, I love that the future is so bright, and I will always in my head go back to that, whether things are, like, when things are good, it, like, when they signed Roman to the extension and they were on like, I think a 6 or 7 game win streak when they did that. So it's like, okay, things are so good right now and they're going to continue to be awesome. And it's just like a way to keep building yourself up and up and up. And when things are going bad, sometimes it can be a way to make you feel better. But like right now, all I can think about is if this team collapses and doesn't achieve the goal that we set, that everyone set, which is get to the playoffs, I'm just going to be sitting there all
this offseason,
fall and winter and early spring long, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for the games to start again. And then even when the games do start again, like, say you get to the All-Star break and this team is crushing it, the conversation is going to once again be, how can we believe it? Just like it was this year. And to be honest with you, maybe I would have said this last year, maybe not. Probably not, though, because this year's team had way more talent on it. Like, it's like it's going to be like this irreversible hurt that, yeah, even if things are really, really good and things look like, oh, you look at the Fangraphs playoff odds and it's 98% playoff probability and the team's playing great and you look like you've got 3 or 4 stars in the middle of your lineup, you've got multiple studs atop the rotation, the mindset is always going to be things look great right now, but if a couple of guys go down and you have a couple of really, really, really bad weeks paired with a couple of teams that have really good weeks, things can always, always, always change on a dime. And that's like that's a horrible, horrible mindset to watch with as a fan, because then, like, really, you can't really get excited about anything until after the fact. And that stinks to not be able to enjoy things in the moment. But that's how I feel like next year would go if this collapse happens.
If this collapse happens, this offseason is going to be awful. Hell. There's going to be some insane takes, and you're not going to have any way to say that's insane because they're all probably going to be justified. Can I give you a positive spin? A positive Please. Spin on what's to come. Okay, so I was talking to someone who's very close with someone on the Red Sox coaching staff, and they believe that this team will perform well on the road, especially in Tampa, because it's such a subdued environment. They've been crackling a bit under pressure, hasn't been working at Fenway like it has been all year. And Tampa, not very hot. They won today 4-0 over the Jays, but overall they haven't been a hot team.
Yeah.
Maybe that gets them going, or a little bit of offense. So, but then at the same time, like, I'm talking about the offense, but then what if the pitching falters in tiny little Tampa? So you don't know, but that's just something to think about. Maybe a completely different environment, quiet, nice Floridian nights, Gordo's favorite. Maybe that helps the Red Sox out.
God, if they miss the playoffs, maybe I just need to spend the entire months of December, January, and February in Florida, and March because it's spring training. No, I don't hate that thought. I mean, upon further review, the Rays definitely are playing worse ball than the A's, and this is full blown coping.
Yes,
but you are gonna be relying on some pretty, like, you do need some pretty damn good pitching performances from you're gonna get Crochet game one. So obviously, game one, let's put it bluntly, must win game one. But after that, you're going to have Kyle Harrison, you're going to have Connelly Early. And I know Connelly Early's been great, but it's 2 starts. All right, like, we don't know who Connelly, like, I love what I've seen, but we don't know who he is after 2 starts. And Kyle Harrison, we have not seen start a game for the Boston Red Sox. So we do need to kind of fasten our seatbelts, grip the armrests of this fucking roller coaster, and just pray that we don't fall off. Like, because
grip your ass.
Yeah, you're gonna have to squeeze your ass into the small seat.
Big ass.
Let's hope
Gordo.
It sticks.
Gordo has a big ass.
Just squeeze it in and hope that when the roller coaster goes upside down, if the seatbelt unfastens and big the ass. Roller coaster gods want you to fall off, that your ass keeps you lodged into the seat long enough, because it wouldn't do it forever. If the roller coaster stopped up there, you'd fall off. But because it's in motion, you might be able to stay in just long enough to stay alive. And when you get to the other side of that loop, that's the postseason.
Oof. And the award for longest metaphor without a purpose goes to...
No, there was purpose. There was purpose.
A deep purpose behind it, Joe. Are you not thinking about like having a giant ass and almost falling out of a roller coaster then you're in the playoffs?
Never.
Are you not thinking about the postseason, Joe? I'm trying to get us to the playoffs.
However way you want to get there, do whatever you want. But
we need bigger asses on this team.
Big dumper.
Okay, can I try and shift this by asking a question? You were mentioning Harrison starting Saturday. I don't know about you, but I feel great about Tolley being the piggyback afterwards. After seeing him today, he looked electric against the A's. Now, I'm not saying
Joe,
like,
I don't
that's
think he's going to be available. Today's Thursday. He's not going to be available on Saturday after three innings today.
I don't for like a one inning spurt though. Like let's play this out. Like let's say
I got
Harrison.
No idea. That's tough.
Let's say Harrison is able to go five. Like because today in the last game of the A's series after Bayo, it was Tolley and then Weiser, and that's it. So
thank God because the bullpen really needed a rest.
And then like let's again. Woo. Play big picture that Garrett Crochet can give you seven or eight innings. And depending on the game, you might only need two relievers, whether that's Whitlock or Chapman or anyone else. Like you can have a fresh bullpen by the time you get to Harrison and you get to Connolly early. But I'm just saying, Tolley as the piggyback, I think is a great role. And if they get in, and I again stress, if they get in,
you're saying for the playoffs.
Yes. Well, if to help them down this stretch and in the playoffs, Tolley in that piggyback role is going to be massive.
I agree, but he's not going to be available on Saturday. He threw 50 pitches today, one day rest. He won't be available.
The dude's a psycho. He can come back.
They're going to be careful. I don't think he's going to be available the entire series, to be honest. Like I bet you don't see him again until the Blue Jays series.
He might see him in the last game, but I think they're going to be careful with him.
Maybe the
back
last.
To being negative, spin zone. How do you feel about Crochet on regular rest? Right, 4 days.
It's 4 days.
Yeah, not so regular rest.
Yeah, I mean
he's better out with that extra day.
Yeah, I mean you saw it with Bayo today. I mean I know Bayo's been scuffling in general, but yeah, I mean the last couple times Crochet was on 4 days rest, you didn't see the best version of him. That said, the Guardians aren't necessarily the best hitting team. But you are playing in that ballpark where the ball flies. Like I was David Hamilton and Christian Campbell hit homers in the earlier season series this season in that ballpark, where I could not believe like what it looked like.
David Hamilton's home run in Tampa earlier this year was like 5 feet off the ground, just a laser beam that got over the fence by like an inch. That was cool.
It was like a week after that. I asked him, I was like, have you ever hit a ball like that that got out? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, no, you haven't. No way. You've not hit a ball like that got out.
Of course. Don't you
know? I was like, no. No way. No way.
Hamilton. Wasn't the rumor that the Giants wanted Hamilton and the Red Sox wanted like Camilo Duvall or something? I don't know.
I think that was everyone thinks that the...
Did we come up with that?
That was a who says no with us. No, everyone thinks that the Mariners would have taken Hamilton for Castillo, but I don't think that's true.
What? What the fuck? That's insane. No.
Yeah, people
just
keep
for eating
that.
The money?
Yeah, I've heard that that's not fully accurate.
No, they have two second basemen coming into this year. That's crazy.
Maybe they like Hamilton, but wouldn't have been as simple as Hamilton for Castillo. But
Hamilton.
Yeah. I digress. It is a big series where you have to win the first game, and win at least one of the next two. And even that might not be enough. Like we're now past the point, because we've seen it. This team is not going to just go out there and rip off 8 of 9 to finish the season. They're not going to do it. So how do you get in? You win the first series and you cross your fingers and pray that they win one of the next two series. And you cross your fingers and pray that the Guardians split with the Twins, and then they've got two series against the Rangers and the Tigers, not in that order. It's the Tigers, then the Rangers, I think, at home. And I got to do the math. If they win 4 out of those 6 and split with the Twins, that's 6 wins. If they win 6 games and the Red Sox win 4,
see,
the rest
I'm
of the
against
way,
this math. I'm against this math. It's bad for your mental health. Just go win one game at a time. One at a time. That's how I go. When I do the math, I start to go insane. And then I think there's no way X, Y, and Z can happen. And then it does happen. And I'm like, okay, this is why I don't predict the outcome of like 5 different things at one time. Just don't. I'm telling you, for your own safety, the math will make you go insane.
Well, it's part of the equation, especially for after, if this thing happens and they don't make the playoffs, like you can look at the FanGraphs playoff odds and that's going to speak for itself. I think it got as high as like 98%. But then when you look up, okay, the Red Sox with 12 games to go, if they went 6-6, the Guardians would have had to go like 9-2 or something to get in. And the Red Sox couldn't even go 500 and therefore miss the playoffs. Like that's a big part of the story.
But that therein lies why I don't touch it. Like that was so much. That was so much to digest right there.
It's not that much to digest. It's go 500 the last 12 games of the season, and unless the Guardians go nuclear, you're in.
I'm just thinking, you're a game and a half up right now. Win your next game, pray that Cleveland loses, and then reevaluate after. I'm like, I can't. I go insane when I start thinking, like, you need to win this many games and this, because what happens if you don't win the first game, and then your calculus changes? So you have to redo the calculus because of another.
Ever-changing.
Too much. Too much. Just win on Friday. Garrett Crochet. Please, for the love of God, this is easily his biggest start with the Red Sox so far.
They just keep getting bigger. That was last one, too. And he performed.
I know, and we're right. It's true both times. That was his biggest start, and now it's even bigger. So just 6 innings, 3 earned runs. I would take that. On the 4 days rest, I'm okay with that. Quality start. Not the sexiest, not the best he's done. I would gladly take it. I think the Red Sox can win if they do. Who's pitching for Tampa game one?
Rasmussen.
Oh my fucking God. Are you serious?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to do the math. Never mind. I'm going.
They're TBD for the third game, but right now it's Rasmussen game one, Hauser for game two, who has not been as good since getting to Tampa. And then they're TBD for the third game, which is not on Sunday Night Baseball, but it is on a Sunday night, which is great because the Pats are during the day, Red Sox at night, separate the games.
I
agree with you, Sammy.
I don't think I'll be able to watch on Sunday. I am going to a baptism. Yeah.
It's the first place I'd expect you to be.
I'm the
very
only,
first.
First time I've ever gone to one. It's my my friend's daughter. She's like a couple months old. Gonna do the baptism.
Hell yeah.
Maybe I'll get baptized too, just in case.
Just in case. But yeah, but right before we get to enough said, yeah, must win game one of the series. If you lose the Crochet start, you're now relying on a guy who has not made a start for you before. Doesn't mean you don't believe in him long term, but he hasn't made a start for you. So you're going to be gripping your seat, and a guy who has made 2 great starts, but again, he's made 2 starts. And I don't know how many combined innings those guys are going to give you, but the bullpen is going to be used heavily back-to-back days. Get that first win in the books, because if you don't, you're probably not going to win the series. And you need to win the series. It is a must. Like the must wins become ultra must wins. Like now we're getting to the point where it's like getting to like Sammy level must wins. Because I know,
yeah, almost literal. For me to say must win, it's got to be almost literally must win.
Is it a must win series in Sammy terminology?
It depends on what Cleveland does.
No, you don't get to know.
Would you would you take? Well, then I can't answer your question. Would you take if the Red Sox win? What if the Red Sox win one out of three, but Cleveland gets swept? Would you take it?
Yes, but you don't get to know what Cleveland does. You don't get to know. They have four games.
It's an extremely important series for the Red Sox, whether you think it's must win or not. Probably should win this one. But we said that about the last one, and they didn't, and they're still a game and a half up. So we'll see. I'm also not putting it in the impossible category for Cleveland to cool down. They're not this stacked.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Team, they're on a hot streak right now, but there's 9 games to play. Maybe they cool off. And right as I say that, there's 9 games to play. I wish there was 2 games to play. That would make me a lot more confident than fucking 9 games. It feels like there's 100 games left, and you're just like, you got to hang on for 100, but it's really only 9.
Yeah.
Oh, I keep getting those comments. Hey, man, don't worry. There's still 9 games. I'm like, still 9 games? That's too many.
It's too many. If there were 2, all you'd have to do is win 1.
Right. Like,
and you got Crochet.
Oh.
All right. Do you want to do enough said?
Yeah. I'll do a positive enough said. Just shout out to the whole Red Sox community. You and I had a great time on Friday night. We finally got to meet the man, the myth, the legend, Hogdale.
This was going to be my enough said too. So we'll stick on this.
So Hogdale, I thought purely because of the camera angle he uses in his videos, I thought he was like Danny DeVito. Like a short guy, because that's what the angle looks like. Then literally, I meet him in person. Words.
He goes, everyone thinks I'm Danny fucking DeVito.
But then I meet him in person. I'm like, this dude's like 6'3". Holy shit. So, but no, Hogdale's great. His mom and grandma, awesome people. Had a great time chopping it up with them at the bullpen. And it was awesome to see all the people that came out. I was there. You were there. Hogdale was there. Lucy came by. Alex from our chat, Will, who's a friend, Bradfo came by afterwards. We saw even Chris Cotillo was there for a brief moment. And then on Saturday night, Section 10, these guys are like the preeminent Red Sox podcast. What they've done is unbelievable, and they've been great to us. So congrats to them. That was great to see the community. I had major FOMO. I didn't go because I had a job interview the next day early in the morning, and I was like, I got to be sharp for this. I don't want to mess it up, but wish I could have gone. That looked awesome. I loved seeing on Saturday night, Hogdale got to go in the booth. Hogdale's technically part of Section 10. He does he votes for the series MVP and does his voice entry. So he's part of that crew too. He got to go in the booth for WEEI. Just awesome, man. It's like that phrase, we made the right person famous with Hogdale. I just love seeing him thrive. Nice guy. Couldn't say enough nice things. So congrats to him. Congrats to the Section 10 guys. Win or lose, at least the Red Sox have a great community. Hey, and there we are. Look at that crew.
I've never heard that phrase before. We made the right person famous. That's very, I like that.
Yeah, it's like when someone, like when a good person becomes famous, it's not like, it's like not, like the opposite of like Andrew Tate, where a guy's just a scumbag. It's like a good person becomes famous, you know?
Yeah, and Hogdale is one of those people. He is just a kind, genuine soul. And I too was floored when I got there and saw that he was just towering over me. Was not expecting that.
He said, I'm a large man, like vertically and horizontally. So, he's very funny, man. He's self-deprecating, but not like too much where it's like, all right, man, we get it. But like, yeah, good times, man. That was fun, even though the Red Sox shit the bed that first game.
Yeah, I will say it was very cool to see him get his much deserved flowers. Like, I mean, he lives in Iowa, and like, obviously you read the comments online, you see the engagement on your Twitch, you have people engaged with your podcast, but like, I don't know how much you can genuinely feel from Iowa, how much, you know, this community really loves him. And, you know, for him to be in town on this weekend of all weekends, like you said, Section 10 night, like a ton of people from Red Sox Twitter in attendance, like, yeah, Hogdale got his flowers this weekend. I really wish the team had showed out for him and played a little bit better. He'd only been to one game at Fenway Park in the past. I wish they played better for him, but I think it was great for him to see just how much people really like him, because like, I feel like if you get 10 positive comments and one negative comment, it's very easy to let the one negative comment be the one that sticks. But like, the overwhelming sentiment among the fan base that knows everything that Hogdale is that everyone loves Hogdale. And I'm glad he got to see that this week.
Well, I will say that he did sort of get his moment, because when he was on mic in the booth on EEI for the Wednesday night game, two pitches in, ref Snyder home run. And then
Hogdale magic.
Right. And then after that, when Giolito struck out the bases loaded, we got a live in-person, let's go, boys.
Yeah. Like, let's go, boys.
He got on the mic, and people all who were listening to the game on the radio, wherever they were, could actually hear that magic that, Sammy, you were just talking about. Let's go, boys.
You know what else was cool?
Strikes him out.
So talking to his mom and grandma about coming to Boston and being like, did you know that your boy was this popular and this beloved in a city on basically the other side of the country? They were like, kind of, but not to this degree. Like, this is unbelievable. And
that was early on too. Like, that was before the game Friday.
I'm glad we got him early. We were the first people to meet up with him. We got him before it got really crazy. Kind of gave him like a, hey, good to see you. It's going to get a lot crazier from here. And shout out Bradfo too for putting together the radio appearance. He reached out to me to reach out to Hogdale to give the contact to people. So yeah, Bradfo Dreammaker has to sprinkle a little magic in there too. So shout out to him as well. Shout out to everyone. We have such an awesome community around the Red Sox, even though the team is punching us in the.
Yeah, I was gonna say shout out to everyone except the team right now.
And to Dallas Braden for catching that foul ball in the booth right next to Carrabas.
That was nuts. That was nuts. That was a great catch. Yeah, dude, everything went so well on Wednesday night, and then just lay an egg on Thursday. Ah, all right. Let's.
Well, the way he commented, I don't know if you saw the John Boy video of it, but he literally went all Pete Weber.
Yeah.
You think turning. Yeah. Turning next to Travis. Yeah. It was in the middle of Monaco and Fleming, and he goes, who do you think you are? He pauses. I am. So it wasn't as effective as Weber.
Oh, God, this team, dude. All right. I guess that's where we're going to call it. I feel like we're sending each other off to war right now. I have no idea what's ahead. Like, we're going to come back on Sunday and either things are going to feel considerably better or, oh my God, like if you thought this pod was negative, it could get that much worse. Like there's a chance that they could just get worse and worse and worse from here. And then there's a chance that by next pod, we're talking playoffs again. And we're going to talk about like, oh, setting up the rotation, all that stuff. We don't know. You're going to have to beat the Rays. Simple as that. 2 out of 3 minimum. Go for the sweep. Every single game matters. Every single game is super critical until they're not. And yeah, we'll see you on the other side of this. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Episode 266 of Play Tessie. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. Got the Play Tessie playlist there. Has all our episodes. So hit the subscribe button to WEI and hit the thumbs up button on all of our videos in that playlist. You can find all of our content on social media at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. We just had Trevor Story, aka the one dude who is still crushing it at the plate for this team. We had him on the pod. We've had some good social clips. One just came out about the team's flight. Really good stuff. Check those out on our socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here for Play Tessie. Cross your fingers, grab your seats, squeeze your ass cheeks. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Bet365 Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.